Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
You are listening to Family Talk, the radio division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh. The measure of a man is not determined by his physical strength or how much money he makes or even what he does for a living. Rather, it's the state of a man's heart that really matters. In fact, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Our guest on today's edition of Family Talk has had every reason to find his worth in his performance. But over the years, by the grace of God, he has come to realize that a real man is one who cares for the weak and walks in humility each and every day. His name is Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger is a 2-time Super Bowl champion, having played quarterback with the NFL's Pittsburgh Steelers for 18 seasons. In his first year in the league, he was selected as Offensive Rookie of the Year and was a 6-time Pro Bowl selection as well. Ben was chosen in the first round of the 2004 NFL Draft at the young age of 23 and rose to fame after he led the Steelers to victory over the Seattle Seahawks in Super Bowl 40. Upon his retirement earlier this year, Ben Roethlisberger ranked 5th all-time in NFL career passing yards, 8th all-time in touchdowns, and 5th in completions among quarterbacks with a minimum of 1,500 career attempts. In addition, Ben Roethlisberger had the 4th highest career winning percentage as a starter in the regular season among quarterbacks with a minimum of 100 starts, and was one of 6 starters in NFL history to have beaten at least 31 of the current 32 teams. Apart from football, Ben and his family have started a foundation with the mission of forging stronger families. He and his wife Ashley have 3 children and make their home in the suburbs of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Earlier this year, shortly after announcing his retirement, Ben Roethlisberger attended an Ignite Men event in Lynchburg, Virginia. These annual events are hosted by our own Dr. Tim Clinton with the purpose of encouraging men to be strong leaders in their families, their communities, and the world. After sharing some encouraging words with the men attending the conference, Big Ben, as he's known in the league, joined his close friend Dr. Clinton backstage to answer a few intimate questions, and that's what you're about to hear on today's edition of Family Talk. So, as we get ready for football season to begin, here's a special profile of a man who has experienced the redeeming grace of God, moved the spiritual ball down the field, if you will, in his own personal life in a mighty and radical way, and is continuing each day to do the work to discover his true identity in Christ.
Ben, I know we've been talking a little bit one-on-one about the change. You know, it's interesting for men, when they leave something, you know, they really need to be thinking about where they're going. And talk to us a little bit about what's going on inside of you, your heart, your mind, as you turn the page to a new chapter in life.
Yeah, it's people have been asking me a lot recently, you know, what does retirement feel like? And I said, it doesn't feel like anything yet, but being my wife's personal assistant is way harder than football. you know what? It's been a blessing because I get up in the mornings, I have some devotional time, and then I'm packing the kids' lunches, and I'm getting them breakfast, and then I'm getting them to school, letting my wife kind of have a break and do things. And, you know, the next chapter is really just about being the best husband and father I can be. You know, I always felt like I did a good job of it even during football, but now I can really focus on it, like, even more. And so I want to pour into my kids. I love trying to reach and teach them about Jesus. And so that's my main focus, is getting them prepared for the world and getting ready to go. And as we're doing that, we're transitioning into doing some things that are passionate to me, which is the outdoors and my connection with my boys. Obviously, I got a daughter. I'm not taking anything away from my daughter. Obviously, we know a father's love for his daughter.
Bailey's got some energy too, man.
She does.
She's special.
But I'm close with my father still. Obviously, he's still around. And so I want to do a lot of father-son things outdoors.
I want you to speak to... Right. Yeah, I want you to speak to our listeners out there who... You know, for a lot of us, what we do is who we are. Mm-hmm. It's our identity. And I want to go back to a statement you made that, I mean, your identity in Christ, if you don't get that stuff straight, mm-hmm. you're right, we're going to go into a total spin. Mm-hmm. We're going to get knocked down so hard that we're going to struggle to get up and find our way. As you look to the future, I mean, these are tough times. But the beautiful thing is, I really believe this, God's at work.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I've said it many times, football is what I do. It's not who I am. So like you say, sometimes we get our identity from I'm a banker, I'm a teacher, I'm a whatever my job is. But really, that's just what you're doing. It's not who you are. Our identity needs to be in Christ. And who are we in Him? We know how He views us, but how do we see ourselves in His eyes? And so that's kind of my big thing, is I want to help boys, young men. We've all go through trials. We go through tribulations. And none of us are out of that woods. We're all going to go through them at some point again.
Yeah.
And so I want to just equip people to be prepared and ready for it when the time comes.
Yeah. And as we press into Him, He will direct our paths. That's that Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understandings, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Mm-hmm. You talked about accountability partners. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who it is in your life, but talk to that issue, how significant it is, and who and what that is in your life.
Right. I've got some really close Christian friends that are great group of guys, a small group at our house that we meet and this, that, and the other, and great couple stuff, and they're great men. But there's one specific person, Spencer Tao. He's a great man of God, great family man, just had his first child. And so he's actually about 10 years younger than me, which seems crazy that you could have someone in such an age gap, which it just shows that you don't need to have someone so close in age or someone that's just like you. Like, we're 10 years apart in age, but he is wise beyond his years. And so he's my accountability guy, and I'm his. And we try to get together at least once a week, just he and I. And you know what we'll do? We'll sit downstairs in the basement, we'll watch a game, and we'll talk about life. And it doesn't always get deep. It doesn't get emotional every time, but it's just, hey, how you doing? Anything going on? And I think that's important. I think it's important to have that accountability guy, someone that can check on you, someone that you're not afraid to talk to. I've said many times, my wife is my best friend. We talk about everything. There's no real secrets that we have from each other, but there still needs to be a man that you can. There's something different between talking to your wife, even though she's your best friend, and talking to a man, a guy that you trust, that you can confide in and have that time with. And so I've got a guy like that, and I encourage people to find somebody like that if you can. And it's not. It doesn't mean it's the first person you come to and it works out. Sometimes it might take a person or two till you really feel comfortable. There was a guy that I thought was going to be that person, and he's still a very dear friend, but just not the right person for what you're looking for. And so I just encourage people, if you can, find someone that you really can trust, and that you have to be the same thing to them. They've got to trust you too, and just pour into them and don't be afraid of it.
Yeah, that safety creates an opportunity for authenticity, transparency, and by the way, growth. I really believe that two are better than one, for there's a greater reward for their labor. Mm-hmm. And a threefold strand, Solomon said, is not easily broken.
For sure.
The power of friendships. Mm-hmm. It's transformational. Yep. Ben, as you go forward, I know a lot of people are going to have their eyes on you. They're going to see how you handle all this, and they're waiting to see what God's going to continue to do in and through you. And I know I hear it Family Talk. Our prayer is that God would do a great and mighty work continued in you and through you.
Thank you.
For such a time as this.
I appreciate it. We'll take all the prayers we can get. We're excited for the future and what it holds. And like I said, doing stuff with fathers and sons is going to be so exciting, because I tell people, I think that's what's missing in society, the outdoors and fathers.
Ben, last time you came to our event, your dad came with you, and it was a moment. Your dad, obviously, so proud of you. But I know that he's an anchor in your life. You mind talking about? I know you have a real passion for fathers and sons, mm-hmm. but your dad.
Well, that's the reason I have a passion, is because my dad is such an amazing man, and we're very close to each other. And this time having my son here, it's like that full circle. You know, I want to be the same thing to my son that my dad was to me. You know, my dad is one of my dearest friends.
Generational legacy.
It's unbelievable. And so, you know, it's special to have someone like that in your life. And I try and reiterate to my son to enjoy the time with grandpa, with pop, because he's still healthy and he's not super old, but you just never know. And I still miss my grandpa. And so it's amazing how we the friendship changes. Like, as we go through phases of our life, it's like our parents aren't very cool for a while, and then they're kind of cool again. And like, I can't get enough of my dad. We're building them a new house like a mile from us now. And so I can't, when I go over there, it's like, I want to hang out with my dad. And it's special. So I enjoy every moment with him.
Now, there's something that happens. Mm-hmm. We're at a men's event.
Yep.
There's something that happens when men get together. Let's pray that God would raise up a generation of men who are bold and strong and courageous, mm-hmm. willing to stand.
And bold and strong and courageous doesn't mean I need to lift the most weights and be the biggest guy in the room. Being bold and strong and courageous means that I'm okay to be vulnerable. I'm okay to admit my failures, admit that I need help, because we all need it. And so I encourage people to do that listening, is don't be afraid to seek help, to seek the advice of a peer that you trust. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It can just be a good buddy that you trust, that you guys can just pour into. I don't know too many people in the world that if I have a lot of problems and I run to them, that are going to run to me, right? They're going to run from my problems because they don't want to help you. Find that one good buddy, because if you know, Jesus is always, he's going to come to you. He's going to help you. But find someone that can be there, that can really, you can pour into, because that's what it is. Being vulnerable is strength.
Yeah. Ben, such a delight to have you join us here. And we pray God's special blessings over you, Ashley, and your family.
Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. That was Dr. Tim Clinton's recent conversation with Big Ben Roethlisberger backstage at the 2022 Men's Ignite event in Virginia. Ben retired from his 18-season professional football career earlier this year and was sharing with Dr. Clinton a few of the dreams and plans he has for the future. Let's join Ben on stage with Dr. Tim Clinton right now from Men's Ignite 2022, speaking to thousands of men in attendance. You'll hear Ben's heart and passion for all men to step up and to lead their families. Let's go to that presentation right now here on Family Talk.
Y'all trying to get me to come out of retirement, huh? They wanted me to throw footballs. I said, no, I'm retired.
How many of you were at the last event when Big Ben was here with us? Say, give a shout out real quick. Give a shout out.
That's right.
You guys. Right. I'm going to tell you what, Ben, you got some pressure on you. Probably a little nervous because he has the boss in the room, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, and his son. Would you guys please help us welcome Ashley Roethlisberger and his son, Benjamin, over here. Ashley, give a shout out. Stand up.
Oh, she said no.
There we go. Benjamin, there we go.
There he is.
Yeah, it's cool because the last time my dad came.
Yes, he was.
So my dad was here last time, and this time my son came, so it's kind of cool, the whole circle. I think my dad didn't want to come because he didn't want to cry again. And I know y'all going to try and make me cry again, so can't believe it's been 2017, how long it's been. But watching, like we just talked about, my kids being here now, my oldest son being here, and that's what it's all about, being a dad and a husband. Also, before we get going too far, I think, what did you say, 250 men raised their hands or stood up to give their life to Christ. Like, to me, I tip my cap to y'all because that's being a real man. You can say what you want about being a tough football player and outdoorsman, things like that. Right. To raise your hand, that's stand right. up, whatever y'all did, and be vulnerable. Being vulnerable in a room full of other men is not easy to do. And so I just want to take a moment to say congratulations, thank you, and vulnerability is not easy.
Ben, you, a few years ago, I got a phone call. You and I chatted for a little bit, and we talked about where you were at in your life, and God was impressing on your heart about baptism. And we talked back and forth a little bit. I want you to share a little bit of what was in your heart and what happened.
Right. So I was baptized as a baby, which, you know, we called dedicated, but I was baptized. And so growing up in life and everything, I never made the decision to be baptized myself. And as my faith grew over the last few years, coming to the conference and speaking to everybody and just realizing a lot like, I'll go back, a lot like I left school early, I left college early to go to the NFL. How can I tell my kids how important school is if I don't graduate? So I went back and got my college degree and felt like that was important. So same sort of thing. How can I tell my kids how important God is, baptism is, showing the outward expression of my faith if I don't do something like that? So in 2018, gave you a shout, and I was blessed to be baptized by this man right here. Yes. Just because I wanted to make the outward expression to very small, my family,
It was a moment.
My parents, it was special. And it just felt right. It felt like I was at a point in my life and my walk that I wanted to express to my kids, to my family, where I was and where I want to go. Probably a couple years ago, I said, you know, football is about fourth on my list of importance. And that didn't sit well with some Steeler fans because, you know, it's football. And I get it. It doesn't mean that I didn't care and I don't love it. Right. But, you know, God was first. My wife was second. My kids were third, or my family were third. And then football fell into it. Now, it doesn't mean I can't get on the football field and give everything I have and live, die, and breathe for it. But off the field, it has to fall into place. And so I think the last 5 years, it really was easier for me to put into place because my faith had grown so much. And because I was able to do that, it made everything else that like, as the trickle-down effect happens, everything else just became easier. Football became easier. Being a leader and a quarterback became easier. Giving my testimony became easier. Talking to people about my faith became easier. And I think that's what it's all about, because I would say early on, football is what I do. It's not who I am. I don't think I really believed it until more recently. Football is what I do. No, not anymore, but it's what I used to do, not who I am. That's kind of where my life has transitioned to the last few years.
18-year career in the NFL. 2021 season started. And when they went through that three-game losing skid, social media, everything's blowing up. This guy's taking so many hits. He's old, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, and all this jibber-jabber's going on. All of a sudden, the win against Denver, and things begin to turn. All of a sudden, Pittsburgh, everybody's starting to believe. Hey, wait a second. Who knows what's going to happen? Let's fast forward to December. Setting the table up for a Monday night game in Heinz Field. Hey, the journey up to this point has been, is Roethlisberger going to retire? Could this be the last game? Could this be the moment? And at the same time, they've got to win. Hopefully, they'll get a win here against Baker, and maybe somehow this thing will work out, and they'll keep going on. But Monday Night Football, this is the deal. And I'll tell you what, early in that week, you and I talked briefly, and we just chatted about that moment that was coming. And it was a big night. What was interesting to me was God was setting a table here for a second, because I think something special was going to happen. All eyes were going to Pittsburgh, ESPN, everybody. Everybody comes in. People are commenting. Kurt Warner said, Tim, I was there. Was there anybody who didn't watch that Monday night game because everybody thought they're witnessing history and the end of an era? I want to ask you, Ben, leading up to that week, you love Pittsburgh, man. Pittsburgh's done so much for you, and you represent that Steel City in so many ways, just hard-nosed. Let's get it done. Let's get out there and go to battle. But how do you get ready for that moment?
I was nervous. I was scared. I didn't, you know, you have so many emotions running through you because Pittsburgh is home, and Pittsburgh is where we're going to live. I mean, we live there now. We're going to stay there. And so I remember saying, like, man, what if I go out and don't play well? What if we lose? What if, I mean, there were so many, like, those doubts start to creep in sometimes. And it's like, yeah, I've had a great career. I've won Super Bowls there. I've won a ton of football games there. But to me, I felt like if I lost that one game, would it all be, like, erased? And so that was just my insecurities there creeping in. The devil, whatever it was creeping in, just telling me, man, you got to go out and do this. And I think sometimes we worry so much about getting measured as men and as people by what we do. And we don't live in the right here and right now. And if I would have lost that game, who, at the end of the day, like, who cares? You know, just understanding what it's all about. And so going into that game, I was a wreck. I tried to make it as normal of a football game as possible, but it's impossible when you know that it's probably your last home game in front of the fans that have just meant so much to me and my family. It was emotional.
That night, I really believe this with all my heart, America became Steeler fans. I'll tell you what, it was emotional because I think everybody knew this was the last time we're going to see Big Ben and Heinz Field. And we knew what God was doing in your heart and life, and we were resonating with you, you know that? And saying, let's just celebrate this, and may God use us as a platform. Let's fast forward. Game's crazy, it's all over the place. Najee Harris scores a touchdown.
I thought, okay, when Naj scored, it was great. I'm on the sideline. Like, we just won my last game at Heinz Field, and it was against the Browns. I mean, even more special. And I'm just kind of standing there, and guys are coming up to me and this, that, and the other. And then the interception happens, and it's like, holy cow, I have to go back on the field. Mason Rudolph, the backup, he grabbed his helmet. I'm like, huh? No, sir. No, young man.
No.
Not yet. And so I ran back out there. I was like shaking. I was like, just don't fumble it. Please don't fumble it. take that knee. And then Derek Watt and Nas just grabbed me and hugged me. And it just like, it felt the emotions just, and guys were hugging me and the other team, the Browns guys were coming up, and just the emotions were through the roof. And it felt so special.
Yeah, you guys, if you were watching the game that night, I don't know if you remember, ESPN did not leave the game. No one left the stadium. It was amazing. It was surreal. Next thing you know, I mean, you were going around the field.
You know, it's one of those things that you don't even know what, you're not even thinking about anything. It's just like, I started like going and giving high fives to the around the stadium.
In the middle of COVID, man, yeah. You kept going.
and the funny thing was, I got like halfway, and I was like, it's really cold out here, and that's a long way to go. I better stop here pretty quick. But the coolest thing about that whole night, even more than the win and all that, was having my family there.
Yeah.
I had so many friends and family came to that game, but on the field, like I know you showed the picture, like out of the tunnel, all three of my kids came and ran and about tackled me, and to have them with me, and then Ashley was there, and then my parents, my sister, my agent, I mean, all like people that mean the most to me, that meant the most to me, is having my family there. I mean, they were at every game, they were at every step of the way, but to have them on the field with me, to walk off like that together, to get hugs, and it just meant the most to me, because they are my everything.
It reminded me of my dad. One of my last times with my dad, he said, Tim, remember this. It all started with my family. And he said, it ended with my family. He said, remember that. Keep that in your heart. Ben, you're in retirement. A friend of mine, Jack Graham, retweeted a piece that you did. And in one of your interviews, they said, what are you going to do? You talked about advancing the kingdom of God. It was about ministry, my family. Just some ministry work and advance the kingdom of God. Ben, talk to us about what you're thinking. Where's this going?
I feel like that's been my mission now for the last 4 or 5 years. And then about a year or two ago, I really felt God was telling me that he wants me to do something with fathers and sons. I'm very close with my dad. Obviously, I've got two boys. And I feel like what's missing in today's society are two things. There's a lot of things missing in society, but a father figure, and the outdoors. I started thinking, man, I would love to take fathers and sons and let them reconnect together outside somewhere. And about a mile down the road from our house where we live now, a beautiful farm went for sale. And we just felt like we should buy that and do everything there. Do a father-son retreat on this property so that I don't have to travel and be away from my family. They literally can just go and be right there. And so we're changing the Ben Roethlisberger Foundation used to do canine dogs, and we gave almost $2 million to police and fire and rescue dogs. And it was an amazing, yeah, we loved it. It was special. It really meant a lot. And we're actually, yeah. And we're in the process of transitioning to the Roethlisberger Family Foundation because we want to help families, the family unit. And it's, you know, fathers and sons are a part of that. We want to do marriage things. So we have this beautiful farm, this beautiful property, fishing. We have horses on there. We're going to have a big farmhouse my wife is redoing for people to stay at. And so we want to connect fathers and sons because I feel like that's important. I feel like it's lost to a certain extent. And it's what I feel passionate about. So that's kind of where we are transitioning into.
Awesome.
You know, what you talked about, we all get knocked down. And life is full of peaks and valleys, and it's easy to give God the glory when we're on top of the mountain. It's, can we give God the glory even when we're in the valley? I told you guys that got vulnerable out here and raised your hand in front of other men. That's what I want to do at my retreat, is I want, as a father, to get up in front of other men and get emotional at talking about my son. Because there's nothing wrong with communicating to my son or to other men that it's okay to cry. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to communicate. So that's what I tell y'all, is just be vulnerable. Communicate with your spouses. Communicate with your kids. And the last thing I would say, if I have a moment, is find somebody in your life that's a friend that you can trust, that you can share with. You know, we always talk about, like, my wife is my best friend. There's no doubt about it. And we share everything. But there are things that you need a man in your life to communicate with.
Yeah.
So if you have someone, keep them tight. Be a close friend to them. And let them into your life, because as men, we need somebody like that, that we can be close with, we can be vulnerable with, and that we can communicate with.
I celebrate that. Amen.
Inspiring words from one of the most successful and effective quarterbacks over the past two decades, Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, earlier in 2022, Ben announced his retirement, and he now has much more time to pour into his kids, encourage and serve his wife, and to focus on the Ben Roethlisberger Foundation. Please visit drjamesdobson.org/family talk to learn more about Ben or to hear any part of this program that you might have missed today. That's drjamesdobson.org/family talk. Well, thanks again for listening to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Please join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.